Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
All right, Happy New Year. How's everybody? And hope all of you at CNN Fake News recovered from your bong mask-wearing, joints-holding, and bong-lighting celebrations. Did you see that? We'll get to that later in the front. Did you see this? That was their New Year's Eve. And they sent a reporter out to Colorado to follow up on, oh, we're in the bong bus. Oh, just try it with a gas mask. You don't want to lose one bit of marijuana smoke as you're getting paranoid and stoned. It's hilarious. You can't make it up. This is CNN.
This is CNN.
The most trusted name in, pot smoking. Wow. We'll show you how to light the bong, right? As a matter of fact, we'll light it for you on a live show. All right. Orrin Hatch retiring. That just cleared the way. Everyone's speculating Mitt Romney's going to run. Could happen. If he does, he'll win. I'll tell you right now, it's not going to be stopped. That's my prediction. And 2018 is going to be a very interesting year for so many different reasons and so many things that happen. One of the things that's going to happen is, you know, we now can watch the media begin their shift away from Trump-Russia collusion. You can see it. It's not going to happen. So all the breathless, hysterical reporting that you got last year with their non-sourced material or anonymous sourced material, it's all going to go away. I noticed the media was more focused on the fact that there was a truck parked outside of Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago golf club where there was an opening in the trees and they couldn't get a shot of President Trump playing golf. And they were so upset about the truck and they thought that the Trump people put it there on purpose. I mean, that's what media is today. You can't make it up. Anyway, this is a year. Oh, we got two things to look forward to here. Number one, we're going to go over Trump's accomplishments. Why? Because the media is never going to do it. He had an amazing 2017. Amazing. Culminating with the tax cut bill. I even saw that CBS had four separate people that they picked randomly to go over their taxes with. And four of them, all four middle-class families, are getting significant tax cuts. That must have killed them to go ahead and have to report the truth about the tax plan. Also, I don't think anybody that I saw reporting ever reported that the Obamacare mandate is dead in that tax bill. That was a huge, pretty almost undisclosed. Nobody was talking about it. And then Anwar, and I've always said for years on this program, energy independence. Why energy independence? Well, number one, then we don't have to suck up to countries that we know hate our guts. We're less likely to get embroiled in any type of foreign conflicts, you know, involving the free flow of oil at market prices. So that's a good thing for America. And then but more importantly, it's going to create millions and millions of high paying career jobs for people. And that to me is the single most important thing. By the way, we're going to get to this Iranian issue that's happening. There is a chance the mullahs and Ayatollah Khamenei is scared out of his mind right now over the protests that are going on in Iran. And we'll talk about that. We also have more evidence of people paying women to make allegations against Donald Trump and others. That's very, very dangerous. If we're now going to pay people to make sexual harassment allegations prior to elections, because it's just like, for example, would you think it's credible if I'm paying people to say things on radio or TV? You would think it's less credible. That's what tabloid paid journalism does. Sometimes it's accurate, but sometimes it's not. And it's supposed to, except that journalism is dead. It's supposed to have less credibility than what the, quote, establishment mainstream media is supposed to do, where you don't pay people. And it's just a huge difference, massive difference. And apparently the amount of money we're talking about that was being thrown around to pay women to come up with stories about Donald Trump harassing them, well, it's going to get to the point. It's going to be like, well, how do we trust anybody that makes an allegation if you're getting paid to make it? That's number one. And number two, women that are victims, real victims, and there are many, they're going to make allegations and people are going to think, well, maybe it's not true. Were you paid? That's going to be the first. Were you paid? Was your mortgage paid off? Were you given money of any kind? Were you offered money of any kind? So this is fascinating. The degree to which the left will do anything to stop conservatives is pretty amazing. You know, it was even funny. Even the New York Times reported today, you know, that the Trump economy is improving rapidly. I mean, that had to send a collective shudder down the spines of every Democrat in D.C. because the New York Times is now officially acknowledging the economy is booming. And they're crediting Donald Trump for doing it. And, you know, this is where these 81, you know, there's 81 major Trump achievements in the last year. And he was out there pointing out, you know, a lot got done last year that nobody knows about and nobody talks about. But for the New York Times to officially acknowledge this, this is interesting to watch. I don't think it's real. You know, probably the Democrats. What is poor Maxine Waters going to do? Impeach 45 now and reclaiming my time now. But anyway,
when you're on my time, I can reclaim it.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
Judiciary.
Reclaiming my time.
Okay.
Reclaiming
Matter of
my
fact,
time.
Let me read Second. From the New York Times. A wave of optimism has swept over American business leaders, and it's beginning to translate in the sort of investment in new plants, equipment, factory upgrades that bolsters economic growth, spurs job creation, and may finally raise wages significantly. Well, how did we get here? Even before it became clear the Republicans would pass their major tax cut, capital spending had risen significantly, climbing to an annualized rate of 6.2% during the first three quarters of last year. And surveys of planned spending also show major increases. Business executives say the Trump administration deserves credit. Mr. McDonald said home builders have benefited from the killing of regulations written by the Obama administration, including a rule that broadened the definition of wetlands, which could have restricted home building in certain areas. The National Labor Relations Board also reversed a decision that made builders more responsible for the working conditions of their contractors' employees. The Business Roundtable, a corporate lobbying group in D.C., reported last month that regulatory costs were no longer the top concern of American executives for the first time in 6 years. He said regulation was still the top concern in Moody's survey of business confidence, but that it's rapidly losing ground to concerns about the availability of labor. That's now their biggest concern. National Association of Manufacturers fourth quarter member survey found that fewer than half of manufacturers cited an unfavorable business climate, including regulations and taxes, as a challenge to their businesses, down from nearly three quarters a year ago. Some industries have particularly seen clear changes in their fortune, and the Trump administration has reversed a number of environmental protections that would have imposed significant costs on energy companies. And the president's appointees to the Federal Communications Commission voted last month to repeal so-called net neutrality rules, which treated internet services as a regulated industry like power lines and prohibited broadband providers from charging for faster internet service or from blocking or slowing some websites. That decision helped prompt Comcast to announce that it would invest more than $50 billion in infrastructure in the next 5 years. All these companies can't announce their bonuses, how much money they're giving people. I mean, it's unbelievable. 81 major accomplishments. Killing the mandate. ANWR. The president got rid of 21 regulations for every new one that they adopted. I mean, you know, all of this, we now have consumer confidence at a 17-year high. We now have black employment at a 17-year high in America. We now have, you know, a move by the president with this new tax bill. I mean, everybody's going to get more money back in their pockets. And the whole point of a corporate tax cut is so that they will now invest in even more factories. The reason you get rid of regulations is to incentivize them to build factories and manufacturing centers. You know, and probably the biggest and best thing the president did has to do with energy. Because if we become energy independent, well, that means if it's the fracking industry, the drilling industry, it doesn't matter. That means, or the coal industry, well, that then means that Americans are going to have high-paying career jobs that they have been lacking. And if we're going to keep Carrier and Ford and Chrysler and GM building their cars in America, well, we can revitalize places like Detroit and cities in Wisconsin and the Rust Belt and these cities that have been suffering needlessly for years. You know, I'm not even talking about Neil Gorsuch or President Trump appointing more appeals court judges in a year than I think Obama did in like eight. This is the biggest transformation of our court systems, and we know the impact is going to be felt for generations now in a good way. You know, we have 21 regulations signed, reneged for every new one passed. I mean, yet signed by the president, 15 congressional regulatory cuts, withdrew from the Paris Climate Agreement. Yeah, global warming. I'm really feeling it the minute I got back from Florida. 13 degrees when I landed. An executive order cutting the time for infrastructure permit approvals. Getting rid of Obama rules that targeted the coal industry. Opening up ANWR. You know, the promise to get rid of TPP. The North American Free Trade Agreement. Talks continue now to work more in our favor. Companies like Toyota, Mazda, Broadcom, Limited, Foxconn announcing they're all building new U.S. plants. Working to promote sales of products abroad, including China. I mean, all of this is good. Getting rid of the deal with Cuba, that was a good deal. Energy, though, is going to create millions of high-paying jobs. Right now, if you're looking for a career and you don't have a good, you're not in a good place in your life and you're able-bodied and hardworking, get in the energy industry now. Find a way to work in ANWR. Find a way to work in Texas or Oklahoma. I don't care if it's just driving a truck. You make maybe up to $100,000 a year with overtime. It's a lot of money for people. Anyway, we have, of course, now the battle over DACA is going to ensue, but the principle's simple. Secure the border and secure the border first. And if Republicans want to be successful in 2018, I think that the American people are going to need to see 200 or 300 miles of border wall built. I mean, all of this is good. I'll go through some of these things, and we'll talk about it. I'm going to actually list them all tonight on TV. That's the benefit of TV. I can talk and actually list something at the same time, which you don't get to do on radio. Although I love radio. Radio's so much fun. Oh, you know what I'm jealous of? I was listening to the best of Howard Stern over on Sirius 100 over the holidays. I had like all these great interviews, except for the interview he did with Alec Baldwin, which was atrocious, because he's an atrocious human being. You know what he has that nobody else, nobody ever goes after Howard Stern. He can do and say anything, and he does. And it's like everybody else, we have a whole different set of rules we live by. And by the way, I don't want anybody to ever go after him, because it's raw, and it's truthful, and it's honest, and it's real. I was listening to a Scarlett Johansson interview yesterday. It was interesting, and he's talking about, I can't even mention it, because if I mention it, then I'll be thrown off the air. We need freedom of speech in this country. All these people being funded millions to monitor this show and shows like it because they hate our politics. Are you guys going to look at yourselves and realize how pro-censorship you are? How anti-free speech you are? Are you going to just take a look this year and say to yourself, is that the America you want to live in where you shut people down because you disagree with them? Anyway, we'll have a lot to talk about this year. 800-941-SEAN, you want to be a part of the program. Hey, right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show. Iranian protesters now are attacking police stations. That's going on as we speak. You know, Trump predicted the Iran would revolt in his UN speech 4 months ago. And it's so uncanny how often he gets things like this right. Warned about bin Laden long before 9/11/01. We have a guest tomorrow who's going to be on this program that is actually leading the effort and is willing to come forward and explain how his organization is the one leading these protests in Iran. You had armed protesters now showing up and storming in the Iranian military base. All of this is very significant. And on top of that, the protests now spread. Anti-regime protests are spreading in Iran. And this time we actually have a president encouraging the good guys, unlike what Obama did back in 2009. And it even goes as far, this was reported in Egypt today, that they're chanting death to the Ayatollah. They're talking about Khamenei and how afraid Khamenei is about what's actually unfolding in Iran. I mean, do you realize how significant this would be if this Iranian revolution would ever take hold? Meanwhile, Obama tried to buy his way, you know, just like Bill Clinton before him, trying to buy peace and bribing the, well, at that time, Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-un's father. We know how well the billions of dollars, taxpayer dollars and energy credits that worked out. Trump is now actively protesting, saying it's time for change in Iran. You know, I think there's been 12 people now that have been killed, but at least we're on the right side of history. The U.S. siding with the anti-Iranian regime protesters amid the crackdown. Yeah, you think you want to live in Iran? You think you want the government telling women how to dress? You think you want gays and lesbians killed? You think you want that you must practice one religion and one religion only? Remember, Obama assisted Khamenei's regime to their crushing of the Green Rebellion in 2009. Be amazing for this world if that happened. By the way, China, as we speak, is now putting troops on the border with North Korea. We'll have more on that when we continue.
To check in as soon as you get to your car after work for breaking information you need to know about. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
It is far past time for the nations of the world to confront another reckless regime, one that speaks openly of mass murder, vowing death to America, destruction to Israel, and ruin for many leaders and nations in this room. The Iranian government masks a corrupt dictatorship behind the false guise of a democracy. It has turned a wealthy country with a rich history and culture into an economically depleted rogue state whose chief exports are violence, bloodshed, and chaos. The longest suffering victims of Iran's leaders are, in fact, its own people. Rather than use its resources to improve Iranian lives, its oil profits go to fund Hezbollah and other terrorists that kill innocent Muslims and attack their peaceful Arab and Israeli neighbors. This wealth, which rightly belongs to Iran's people, also goes to shore up Bashar al-Assad's dictatorship, fuel Yemen's civil war, and undermine peace throughout the entire Middle East. We cannot let a murderous regime continue these destabilizing activities while building dangerous missiles, and we cannot abide by an agreement if it provides cover for the eventual construction of a nuclear program. The Iran deal was one of the worst and most one-sided transactions the United States has ever entered into. Frankly, that deal is an embarrassment to the United States, and I don't think you've heard the last of it. Believe me.
That was the president just four short months ago. Now what are we seeing? We're seeing now the Iranian people rise up again. And there's an important difference, by the way, about what's happening in Iran today in the Green Revolution protests in 2009, because back then I don't recall seeing any direct assaults on institutions of authority and control. So here we are now 9 years later after people live in tyranny and oppression, and we're seeing reports of armed protesters storming military bases and police stations. Nobody seems to understand this is now the biggest existential threat to the entire world. And that is, you know, there's a reason why Israel is now getting along with Egypt and getting along with the Saudis and getting along with the Jordanians and getting along with the UAE. Their greatest fear is a nuclear armed Iran and Iranian hegemony in the Middle East. It would be a disaster. Because we all know that radical Islamists can't be armed with nuclear weapons, because if they are, they'll use them. And if they can put bombs on their own kids in the name of Allah to go kill innocent men, women, and children, you know, Islamic radicals can. If they can do that, then they're going to have no problem thinking, well, we're better off just wiping Israel and the United States off the face of the earth, which is something that they have been saying they want to do now forever. Anyway, they know they're risking death, these protesters. And the only difference this time is a president is now backing them. And I saw Susan Rice said, you need to just shut up and be quiet. Shut up and be quiet. The last time they were quoting Jefferson and Washington and our framers and our founders for crying out loud, and we were quiet. And we end up giving to the evil regime $158 billion in American currency and other world currency and gold. Well, that's great, because now we just accelerated their ability to get nuclear weapons. And it's the same exact failed policy that of appeasement that Bill Clinton had towards North Korea under Kim Jong-il. And that was the president, by the way, predicting 4 months ago, the people of Iran want change. I mean, if you haven't looked at the videos of them throwing gays and lesbians off roofs and killing them, you need to take a look at it. Because it's real and it's happening in this day and age. You know, watch the movie, the Stoning of Soraya M. And the movie's phenomenal. But that's how women are treated. And they literally bury this poor woman up to her neck and leave her head exposed, and they stone her. And they make her own kids do it. Yeah, well, that's actually that's what life is like under Sharia law for a lot of people in these countries. I see that Saudi Arabia is making steps towards eliminating their corruption, and, you know, but it's all too slow. And I'm not saying that we have the ability to change these countries. I'm not a big believer that Western values are now all of a sudden going to dominate the Islamic world. I don't think that's going to happen. But if you can purge the radical Islamists out of them. And it was a pretty interesting statistic that I saw, and this is all part of Trump's accomplishments. If you can, Linda, bring in the 81, I forgot to bring it in. You know, there was an analysis from September 2014 through December 21st, 2017, so just recently. The square miles that were liberated from ISIS under Trump were more than Obama in just 1 year. And what Obama had done the final 3 years of his presidency, the square miles held by ISIS under Obama was 17,500. Under Trump, it's only 1,930. The estimated number of ISIS fighters, well, under Obama was 35,000. Now it's 1,000. The number of people freed under Obama, 2.4 million. Under Trump, in 1 year, 5.3 million. The number of coalition bombs dropped in 1 year versus a 3 year period, 40,000 by Trump and 65,000 by Obama in 3 years. I mean, that's pretty interesting. That's according to the Department of Defense, if you're wondering where I got the numbers from. That is a huge difference. You know, we don't stand up to evil in our time, and we see now how difficult North Korea has gotten. You know, we see how tough that is. But if you have armed protesters now storming an Iranian military base, attacking police stations, and if they're now, as I have been reporting, chanting death to the mullahs, and that these protests are now spreading, this is the opportunity of a lifetime, and that could change the every single dynamic in that part of the world now for forever, in a good way. I think that would be a great thing. It was one, the Free Beacon reported that Iran may have received as much as $33.6 billion in cash gold payments from the U.S. New questions emerging on several billions paid out to Iran by the Obama administration. Why would you ever give Iranian mullahs that chant death to America, death to Israel? Why would you ever give them a penny? Never mind the $140, $50 billion that we gave them. It makes no sense. Anyway, so now the U.S. is siding with the anti-Iranian regime protesters. Trump says it's time for change. Barack Obama assisted the Khamenei regime to crush the 2009 Green Rebellion. And you have the roots of rebellion now beginning to take hold. You have a leaked memo. This was on FoxNews.com about a meeting and notes of a meeting about how panicked the Iranian regime considered stopping the deadly protests. Anyway, the leaked report to the Fox News channel shows that the Iranian supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, met with political leaders and heads of the country's security forces discussing how to tamp down on the deadly nationwide protests. The reports covered several meetings up to December 31st provided by the National Council of Resistance of Iran. And what it said was that there were high-level sources within the regime, and the meeting notes translated into English said the unrest has hurt every sector of the country's economy and threatens the regime's security. The first step, therefore, is to find a way out of the situation. The report added religious leaders and the leadership must come to the scene as soon as possible and prevent the situation from deteriorating further. It continued, God help us, this is a very complex situation and different from previous occasions. So as those protests now, it's just getting interesting. Let's put it that way. We'll have some more on that tonight on Hannity. We'll ask Newt Gingrich about it at the top of the hour. This is an interesting development that the Chinese military, apparently, according to some reports we're looking at here, a province along the border with North Korea is now seeing an influx, and there are pictures to back it up, of tanks and soldiers and military trucks. That's pretty interesting. Well, because it is their region of the world. Kim says that the U.S. should know North Korea is a nuclear force, and that is a reality now, and we have to accept it. You know, at some point, and now the only thing that's different is North Korea's Kim Jong-un is now open to dialogue with South Korea, will only use nukes if threatened. That's pretty interesting from my perspective, too. You know, I mentioned earlier in the program, I said, you know, 81 major accomplishments by Trump and 11 Obama legacy items have been repealed. And when you look at every single indicator on the economy, it's now getting work. And everything that he's talked about, I won't give you all of it. I mentioned Anwar. I mentioned the healthcare, Obamacare mandate. Building up our military, peace through strength, once again, is now how our Defense Department is acting. We see now the new Afghanistan strategy. We see the strategy against the Syrian air base after the chemical weapons attack. And we see the president now. We see a dramatic improvement in terms of dealing with ISIS because he's giving power and control to the military leaders on the ground. We see the confidence and respect in America is now being restored. I know everybody was wigged out over the president talking about the billions of dollars we've given Pakistan. Well, I think we've got to flip over every nickel and ask ourselves, why are we doing this? Because I think the United States, you know, cannot be the world's policeman, nor can we be the funder of all things for every country. You know, how many people in this country are suffering from opioid addiction? What about our veterans that don't get the care that they need? I met this woman over my vacation, a vet that has been severely injured. She's still struggling to get the care that she needs, although it's getting better. And I gave her a couple of ideas on how to make sure her case is heard. You know, we're now protecting and laid the principles out for protecting the homeland, ending chain migration. You know, Kate Steinle's law, that's going to be the new battle going forward. We have now new immigration judges. We've hired more Border Patrol people. We're now protecting our communities as well, and we're putting more police officers on the street. We got Trump-nominated 73 federal judges. He also got, of course, Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. You know, this tax bill, the economy now is turning around. They passed the $5.5 billion in tax cuts, repealing the Obamacare mandate. We now have, for the first time, President Obama never had a single year of GDP growth above 3%. That's now happening. We have 1.7 million new jobs that have been created. Dow Jones reaching record highs. Rebound in economic confidence. A new executive order boosting apprenticeships and stuff like that. Getting rid of these Obama era regulations, 21 regulations gone for every new one taken on. Now we're moving forward also on important energy issues involving the energy independence issue in the country. By the way, people say, well, you just want to destroy the earth. I don't want to destroy the earth. I don't want dirty air and dirty water, but I don't want to be dependent on countries that hate us for the lifeblood of our economy. And I don't want businesses investing in Mexico or other countries when they can be building their factories and the manufacturing centers here and Americans can be thriving. And the best way that we can help other countries in the end is that if we're successful, we can show them how to be successful themselves. And they could follow our lead and our model. Instead of sending money abroad constantly, you know, forcing businesses, basically incentivizing businesses to leave because the regulations are so out of control and government taxation is so out of control. You know, every year when I go on vacation, I meet with my financial guy. I just hate doing that crap. I just hate it. I just start talking about things and he says everything every year, the same thing. Don't die in New York. Tells me, I'm like, okay, I'll try and figure that out for you. How do you want me to figure out how not to die in New York? He goes, if you die in New York, here's the amount you're going to pay in estate taxes. It's 10% more. New York takes 10% of money they've already taxed. The federal government takes 40%. And believe it or not, I know everyone says, oh, there's all sorts of ways to mitigate that. There's not. Not like you think. Well, it's... You shouldn't be able to give that money. It's not your money. I already pay 62 cents of every dollar I make, for crying out loud. And I love how I get audited, too. Three audits in 1 year last year. Three. Unbelievable. All right, so it looks like Orrin Hatch, well, it doesn't look like. He's out. He'll be retiring. And the headline on the Drudge Report is about Mitt Romney. Is Mitt Romney now going to run for Utah's Senate seat? I'd argue if he does, he's a shoo-in. But we'll see. We'll watch, monitor. Well, Hannity, how do you know? Because I know politics. And you can spend all the money you want and say, well, we don't want Mitt Romney. He doesn't like Donald Trump. I'm just telling you, it's will it be what it's going to be? All right, we'll talk about Trump's accomplishments, the latest in the boomerang scandals that exist out there, much more straight ahead. All right, glad you're with us. Hour 2, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. Newt Gingrich is with us. He says, don't underestimate Trump, and if you do so, do it at your own peril. Also, as Newt has some observations about 2018 that are not conventional thinking on the part of the media, because they think 2018 is going to be a wipeout of the Republican Party. Mr. Speaker, how are you?
I'm doing really well, and I just try to remind everybody that the folks who are convinced it'll be a wipeout are the same folks who were convinced Trump wouldn't be president, and the same folks who were convinced that his first year would be a disaster, and you go down the list. I mean, these folks have been so consistently wrong, you can almost take what they're saying, reverse it, and be reasonably sure you're right.
No, it's really true. And I remember before 2016 in November, and you and I both were out there, and we were saying, yeah, of course he can win. And there's a good chance he's going to win. And the media collectively had the shock of their life. And ever since then, have been doing everything in their power to stop this president. There are 81 specific accomplishments in 12 major categories by this president, and over 100 other minor achievements, but not the least of which is how even the New York Times now recognizes the economy has turned around rapidly.
Well, it's shocking today that on page one above the fold in the New York Times is a very prominent story about how Trump and his deregulatory efforts and his pro-business attitude have just launched a whole new wave of economic growth. I mean, for the New York Times to write that, what a way to start the new year.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Well, if you look at the economy and you look at consumer confidence and you look at nearly 2 million jobs created and you look at, you know, GDP growth and you look at, you know, every economic measure, even the tax bill that passed, this was all before the impact of that those tax cuts, which I think will be significant. But then you get rid of the employer mandate. And then after the employer mandate, now you open up drilling in Anwar, which we should have done years and years ago. Then you look at deregulation. You get rid of 21 regulations for each new one adopted. And, I mean, it's now created an environment where all these companies are now wanting to invest in factories and manufacturing centers here. And I think energy in particular is going to create a lot of high-paying career jobs for people.
Well, I think that's right. And I think you're also seeing across the board small businesses, the combination of deregulation, so they don't have to spend all their time filling out paperwork for the government, and the tax cuts, which is going to let them keep more money in their pocket. You're really going to see a continuous, I think, growth of economic opportunity. And I think you're going to see the Trump administration continue to move towards more and more good ideas, more and more reforms, with a very clear vision that they want to have an America which is creating jobs, increasing take-home pay, giving people more opportunities, that they really are so dramatically different from Barack Obama and the left.
Well, I think that's the difference. I mean, and that to me was the biggest closing argument, that after 8 years of Obama, we never had a single year of 3% GDP growth, and we had 8 million more Americans in poverty and 13 million more Americans on food stamps and the lowest labor participation rate and the worst recovery since the 40s or the 30s and, you know, the lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. That matters to people. Those are real people, real lives, dramatically, in that case, negatively impacted.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think there was a great CBS piece last week where CBS interviewed three different families in three different parts of the country, and all three were going to get real tax cuts. And you could just tell that the CBS reporters couldn't quite figure out what they were covering, because that wasn't what they had said every single day up until the bill passed. It was going to be a terrible bill. It was going to hurt people. You know the whole line. Now suddenly it turns out, oh, actually people are going to be better off. And I think that is a remarkable example of why I believe we could have a very different election this fall than anybody's currently ready for.
Now, we talk a lot about the economy because, first and foremost, I think people need to see improvement in their lives. I mean, consumer confidence, 17-year high, 2 million jobs created. On top of that, black unemployment at its best level in years, the lowest food stamp usage in 7 years. Best GDP growth in 9 years. I mean, these are all real numbers. But then you pointed out in your column, which is headlined, "Underestimate Trump at Your Peril," that Trump hosted 43 world leaders at the White House. He engaged or met with 149 world leaders in 2017. And 183 calls, the president spoke with leaders from 51 countries. That is all in its own right significant and a dramatic turnaround.
Well, and it's a good reminder that when you see President Trump doing things, whether it is moving our embassy to Jerusalem or it is standing up to the Iranian dictatorship on behalf of the Iranian people, he's talking to leaders all around the world while he's doing this. He's not doing this just based on some staff report or some newspaper article. He is really methodically trying to recognize what America needs to do to be successful. And he is learning every single day, and I think the results are starting to pay off. I had a good friend who wrote me a note, I thought, this morning that was hysterical. He said, "We were warned when President Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel that there would be people in the streets. It's just nobody told us they'd be in the streets of Iran."
No, that's a good point. And what do you? We now have a lot of new reports out today. We got Iranian protesters attacking police stations. But interestingly, Trump predicted this 4 months ago. Nobody seems to have picked that up. We'll play it on TV tonight. They also, armed protesters stormed an Iranian military base. You've got these protests are now spreading all around the country. We see video now that has emerged, death to the Ayatollah. And, you know, you got to wonder, what is this regime going to do in light of all of this? What can they do except kill a lot of people?
Well, I think that's the next phase. I mean, in the late 1980s, they had this kind of a problem, and as a result, they had some 80,000 people were killed. This is a very ruthless dictatorship, and my expectation is that the next phase is going to be them trying to kill a whole bunch of people. Frankly,
that's pretty scary, and that could happen. I still think the biggest, at least present, danger we're facing is North Korea and Kim Jong Un and what his capacity for nuclear weapons will be. The big question is, why does he now want to negotiate with South Korea? That was an interesting development.
Well, I think it may be that all these different pressures are beginning to really come to bear, and that he's really faced with a situation where if he doesn't find some new opening, his regime is just going to disintegrate because of the collapse of the economy. And
yeah.
I took it as a very good sign for the steady, methodical increase in pressure that President Trump and his team have brought to bear, that Kim Jong-un is making that proposal. And I think that we should feel pretty confident. This, you know, after all, they're next-door neighbors, and they're ethnically the same people. So if the South Koreans feel comfortable talking with him, I think we should say that's terrific. We're not going to lower our guard. We're not going to count on anything. But it's a good sign in the right direction. If in fact all of a sudden Kim Jong Un feels he has to sit down and talk to people.
What do you make of Orrin Hatch in Utah? And he's retiring, and what appears to be a strong possibility that Mitt Romney, who has been almost virulently anti-Trump, runs for that seat, because I would believe that if he runs, he wins it easily.
I would think that Mitt would win the seat. I think he did a great job with the Winter Olympics years ago. He, of course, has huge relationships all across the state. And it would be interesting in a different way, because he came from Michigan, ended up as governor of Massachusetts, and would now be the senator from Utah. And I think he'd probably be a pretty good senator. He'd be very industrious, very hardworking. You know, he and I, as you know, had a very tough, rough and tumble fight for the nomination in 12. But I've always respected his intelligence. And I think also the world is changing. I would not assume automatically that Mitt would arrive as an anti-Trump Republican. I think that he recognizes that there are a number of things Trump is doing that are quite remarkable. And I suspect when he could, he would actually end up being helpful to Trump and not automatically be in a fight with him.
That would be interesting, because you and I both know there are a lot of Republican senators in particular that hate him. They expect him to conform into something, their image of what they think a president should be. And that's not what got him elected. And that's never going to change. He's not going to be the person they want and behave the way they want.
Right. And I think, frankly, that the people who elected him would be horrified if he spent a lot of his time trying to appease the old order and the old establishment. I mean, I don't think that's why they voted for him in the first place. So I think in that sense, I don't think Romney would come in as a pro-Trump person, but I wouldn't automatically assume, for example, I think he would have voted for the tax cuts. I think that fits sort of where he's at in terms of economics. So it would certainly be interesting, but frankly, if you look at some of the relationships Trump has in the Senate now, they're all interesting too. It's partly the nature of having Donald Trump as your president. He's a guy who has a very strong personality, and he doesn't mind exhibiting it.
All right, so let's go to 2017 was, one breathless report after another, hysterical report, often unnamed sources or anonymous sources, about Trump-Russia collusion. And we have the issue with Paul Manafort and General Flynn. Nothing had to do with Russia. Do you suspect, as I do, Russia goes away? And have you noticed that those of us that have pointed out some corruption at the highest levels of the deep state or within the Mueller investigation, we are now under attack as somehow being anti-law enforcement? That seems to be the media's new narrative.
Right. Well, I mean, if you are the elite media, your whole world is falling apart. You thought you had this wonderful explanation, largely, I think, invented originally by the Clinton campaign to explain why they lost. Then it turned out none of it's bearing up, none of it's holding water right now. And so they're floundering around. I think the fascinating thing is the damage that's been done by the things we're learning about the FBI, the things we're learning about the cronyism, the things we're learning about the collusion and the attitude of some of these people. It turns out that these were not exactly neutral people in any way. These are people who despised Trump, who thought they had a duty to block him from becoming president. And that's pretty scary. I mean, you don't want to have the Federal Bureau of Investigation populated by people who take it upon themselves to decide what the American people should be allowed to know or to believe.
All right. So the question now is, now that we know that, for example, there was an exoneration of Hillary before an investigation, as it relates to Peter Strzok and Jim Comey. And then it raises the questions, do you go back and do you do a real investigation into Hillary? And then we know that there was collusion with Russia, and that's the Hillary Clinton DNC bought and paid for dossier that was designed to, full of Russian lies, designed to influence the American people. And then what do you do about Uranium One when, you know, none of that made sense? And there was a series of instances of bribery and kickbacks and extortion and money laundering that Mueller and other people knew about. But they still allowed, you know, Russia to get a foothold in the uranium market in this country. Do we go forward with these things? Do we stop with these things? Does, you know, do people go to jail over surveillance and unmasking and leaking intelligence, or does it all end?
No, I don't think it can all end now, because I think you've got both congressional investigations and you've got increasing pressure from the Congress and from the American people. I don't think you can walk off, but I don't think you want to go after any one person. What you want to say is, look, the rule of law is at the heart of the American system. The rule of law is the only thing that protects the weak from the poor, I mean from the powerful. And we have a vested interest in insisting that our Justice Department, the FBI, and other agencies follow the law, and if there are, in fact, are sound reasons to believe that a substantial crime has been committed, then they have an obligation to go find out, you know, what happened and to make it public. I think you can't clean this swamp up by trying to cover it up and hoping it'll go away. You've got to have the courage to look it in the face and to insist on real change.
And that means that a lot of prominent Democrats this year should be worried about whether they're going to get indicted.
Well, I certainly think it means that the people who were close to Clinton all have some significant level of risk. I think that's just a fact.
All right, Mr. Speaker, we'll see you tonight on Hannity. Happy New Year to you, and congratulations. I know that Calista was welcomed, I guess, by the Pope officially, and she is the ambassador to the Vatican. Congratulations.
Yes, she's now the ambassador, and I'll tell you, when she had that 25-minute private conversation, just Calista and the Pope and the interpreter, it was quite an experience for somebody from Whitehall, Wisconsin, and I think she'll never forget it.
All right. Thank you, sir, for being with us. Congratulations. 800-941-SEAN. The president of Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, joins us, as well as Peter Schweitzer, Greg Jarrett. What laws were broken now that the collusion delusion is now evaporating before our very eyes, except for Hillary? She's in huge legal jeopardy, in my view. All right, we got time for a quick call here. We'll go to Alabama. They're going to be in the national championship game. Who are they playing? I guess Georgia, right? And that's going to be a big game. These are great games yesterday. Alicia, you're on the Sean Hannity Show. How are you?
I'm fine, Sean. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I've been listening to conservative radio for 24 years, and I've never thought to call in before, but all this sexual assault stuff going on is, I'm afraid we're going way down the wrong road, because as someone that was severely assaulted, beat, and left for dead on the side of a highway, I think that what happened to me and my word is severely devalued.
Well, let me just say this in response. Number one, I'm sorry you ever had to go through that. That is evil in our time. But when people are paying millions for allegations, we've got a problem for innocent people that are true victims.
What's your answer to those people who think, gee, FBI inquiry, that's a big deal? What do you say to them?
I say what I've said now for many, many months. It's a security inquiry. I always took classified material seriously. There was never any material marked classified that was sent or received by me, and I look forward to this being wrapped up.
What about people who think, well, she might be president? What does she learn from this whole process?
Well, that was a mistake, and I have said that, and I will say it again as often as I need to. It seemed like a convenient idea at the time that certainly wasn't. And so I always take classified material seriously. There's no argument about that I'm aware of.
Did you wipe this, sir?
What, like with a cloth or something?
I don't know.
All right, there you have it. The latest 25 now till the top of the hour. I mean, it's now the biggest boomerang I think we've ever seen and will ever see in terms of politics. Tom Fitton is with us. He's the president of Judicial Watch, scored yet another victory against, you know, the corruption and the deceit that has been going on in Clinton world for all these years. This time it's now Uma Abedin, a top confidant, and how she was complicit in the use of unsecured devices to exchange and forward documents that were, in fact, classified in nature. And Judicial Watch forced the hand of federal government to release these documents after the suit that they began in 2015. And it goes on forever. Now, what's so serious about this is Aberdeen also forwarded state passwords to Yahoo before it was hacked by foreign agents. So, in other words, not only did they get information, but then they got passwords to get even more information. Tom Fitton is with us now. How are you?
Sean, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Why is it so hard, you know, and why does it take so long to get Freedom of Information Act requests fulfilled?
Because the presidential campaign of Hillary Clinton took precedence for the State Department and the Justice Department and the FBI last year, and they continue to stall through the Trump administration on the release of this information. The only reason we got it is because we didn't go away. You know, we sued in court, and we weren't going to go away, and they ended up having to turn over the records that the FBI found on Wiener's laptop that were government records, at least, last year, and it only took, 16 months, 14 months?
And there were 2,800 or some 2,800 work-related documents among the documents provided by the FBI. The State Department told the court they expected to complete their review and production by December 31st, 2017. So that's how long the process takes.
They released them on Friday last week, just after, before the New Year's holiday. The State Department servers crashed. But we did get the records, and they show there was classified information on Wiener's laptop, which, I mean, just to say that, Sean, ought to be infuriating to most Americans that nothing's been done about it in terms of a criminal prosecution or serious investigation in the least.
Where do you see all of this now going, assuming, as I'm assuming, that, you know, whatever else that Mueller may or may not do is not going to have anything to do with Trump-Russia collusion?
You know, I think I'm actually hopeful. I think that information like this disclosure could be a tipping point in terms of pushing the Justice Department under Jeff Sessions to finally take a serious relook at the evident criminal activities by Hillary Clinton and Yuma Abedin as it relates to classified information, the taking of government records, the destruction of the records. You know, these egregious violations that have gone on uninvestigated in any serious way, the American people have always wanted to go investigated. That's why President Trump was elected. And it doesn't mean that she gets prosecuted in the end, but we just want an investigation that the American people can have faith in. And given the Clinton-Lynch tarmac records Lynch meeting that took place on the tarmac last year, Comey's hatred for President Trump, the Peter Stroke text showing that he was pro-Hillary and anti-Trump, and of course he was the number two counter-intel guy in the FBI involved in the Clinton email investigation, Andrew McCabe's conflicts of interest, the number two at the FBI whose wife was getting money from a Clinton crony and Terry McAuliffe. You know, if all of this isn't a reason to reopen the investigation, What would be in terms of conflicts and ethical compromises?
But if you listen to the mainstream media, they seem to be speaking with one voice, and that is, wow, all of these conservatives are now attacking institutions like the FBI and the State Department. But I thought when unethical things are being done that the law, they themselves are not above the law. Or if you politicize an investigation by only hiring people that donate to Obama, Clinton, and the DNC to investigate Donald Trump, that would seem to be a conflict of interest. Or in the case of Comey, if you make an exoneration before an investigation, that would seem like some type of collusion, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and you know, the FBI leadership was terribly corrupted, and we're not allowed to call attention to that. Is this a free country or not? The left only likes the FBI when it's targeting people that it dislikes. And I thought the left was skeptical of the FBI as a federal law enforcement agency when it was targeting the left and going after the communists and the leftists and all that during the 70s and 80s. You know, the left is still obsessed with Richard Nixon, yet we're not allowed to criticize the FBI because it can only be undermined in terms of the rule of law by Republican presidents. It's ridiculous. The left is in a power play right now trying to take out President Trump, and they'll defend all sorts of lawlessness by government agencies in order to get that done.
Where is the Uranium One deal? Because that's also something that Judicial Watch has been active and involved in.
Yeah, I mean, we've sued for records there. We're fighting this Justice Department to get them to look at do a competent search. Now, supposedly the Justice Department is doing a review of what went on Uranium One. I don't trust such a review. They just need to do an investigation. You got bureaucrats are going to be asking other bureaucrats what they should do. Of course, they're going to say nothing. That's what happened with the IRS investigation this year. Remember, they went back and relooked at the Obama IRS abuses. And surprise, surprise, the Justice Department and FBI, who were involved in covering up the scandal and were implicated, said, well, you shouldn't go back and reopen this. I think that's what will happen here. We need a special counsel. We need independent, serious investigations going on, as opposed to about talking about the process of figuring out whether we're going to get a serious investigation. Enough of it. We need to get right to the matter. Get an investigation going. The Attorney General, and if he's recused, his designee, should hire a special counsel directly. Forget about these special counsel regulations. Just hire a special counsel using the powers they already have. Have them report to them on a daily and direct basis and get the work done.
Is this the year, like, for example, it was reported earlier today, the House Intel Committee is winding down their Trump-Russia probe. But is this the year now that we begin to get answers to some significant questions involving Hillary and the email server and what appears to be obstruction of justice and violations of law? Is this the year we get to the bottom of Uranium One? Is this the year now that we find out, you know, whether Comey put the fix in with Peter Strzok? Do we get to the heart of all of these varying scandals that have existed now for a while and some of the top brass within law enforcement and the FBI and the deep state and the Justice Department? Are they all going to be held accountable for their actions?
Well, in many ways, it's up to the Trump administration, isn't it, Sean? The president can click his heels three times, metaphorically speaking, and get all this information out there. The deep state doesn't really want to release any of it. They want to protect Hillary and Obama. They want to protect the efforts against President Trump by withholding information about the dossier. You've got the Justice Department attacking the head of the Intelligence Committee on the House because he's pushing them on records about corruption involved in a FISA application targeting Team Trump. This is
how are we going to get to the bottom?
I mean, the Justice Department.
When do we get an answer whether or not the dossier, which we now know was Hillary Clinton and Hillary's DNC bought and paid for Russian lies, when do we get to know if that was used to in a FISA court to obtain a warrant to surveil a presidential candidate, opposition party candidate, and then a president elect?
It's up to the Trump administration, and if I were the president, I would order extreme transparency on all of this. Like we have extreme vetting, we need extreme transparency on the Clinton dossier, the spying, the unmaskings, the FISA applications. Let's get it all out there, and because the agencies themselves have been corrupted, and they're not going to on their own admit to their corruption. They have to be forced, and the president is the only one who can do this, I think, at this point.
All right, Tom Fitton, Judicial Watch. Let us know as you get more information. I'm sure all throughout the year we'll be following it as we watch the biggest political boomerang unfold in 2018. Watch and mark my words. All right, let's get to our busy phones. Michael's in Saratoga in Wyoming. What's up, Michael? How are you? Glad you called, sir.
Hi, it's a pleasure to talk with you, Sean.
Yes, sir.
I've got 2 points, if I can fit them in. First of all, considering the email investigation, how did Huma Abedin ever get a security clearance? We have extreme vetting, supposedly, yet with her background and her family ties, there should be no way she should work for the State Department. On top of that, she was collecting 3 salaries. How is she doing that? That breaks the State Department rules.
All true. All true. But everything you notice with the Clintons, look, this is the great, great untold story, is the media spent a year lying to you about a story that wasn't true. And they never had any evidence. And they breathlessly reported made up facts, unnamed sources, us to death last year. And now,
right,
if they really cared about these issues, now the narrative is, well, you can't. This is outrageous that you're making charges against the FBI, et cetera. Well, we never got to the bottom of real law breaking. They don't care about truth. They care about their agenda. And their agenda is radically left wing.
And Sean, as far as investigations go, we have a special counsel and supposedly investigating these things, yet that same special counsel has a completely one-sided partisan group of investigators. And what concerns me is with all of these antics that supposedly or likely would have been covered in a Hillary Clinton presidency. What's the likelihood that the Mueller team is covering up and making things disappear?
I think the Mueller team is not going to be able to do what they thought they wanted to do. And I think they're going to try until the last minute, but I don't think they'll accomplish what they set out to accomplish. I think their target's always been Trump. I've always believed it. Never denied it for a minute. Rich is in Myrtle Beach in South Carolina. Rich, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
Hey, Happy New Year, Sean. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. You don't sound like you're from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. You sound like you're from New York.
Well, I left the socialist state of Chuck Schumer, and the first thing I did when I moved down here was get a CWP.
Oh, really?
I sure did. First thing, I'm fully armed and ready now, you know?
All right, well, let's hope you never have to use it. What's going on?
Absolutely. That's the whole point, but it's my right to have it. You know, they tell me the lovely ladies I was talking to there when I called in said you're a big fisherman, huh?
No, I'm not a big fisherman. I like to fish. We went on a big fishing trip this year, and we caught huge, huge fish as big as me. we caught amberjacks, and I mean, right, literally the single biggest groupers you've ever seen. One, they're ugly fish, but they taste great.
They sure do. I'd like
not
to
that I ate them
out
or anything. All right. Well, thank you, Richard. I appreciate it, buddy. Have a great new year. 800-941-SEAN is a toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. All right, we have Peter Schweitzer and Greg Jarrett. They're going to break down what this boomerang I've been talking about really means and who is in legal jeopardy this year. First, we get back to our busy phones. Greg is in the apparently ever-growing bigger state of Idaho, and I think it's, what, the number one growing state or number two growing state in the entire country. How are you, sir? Glad you called.
Very good, Sean. It's a great red state to boot. That's why we live here.
Yes, sir. I know a lot of people live there for that reason.
Well, I wanted to ask you here, though, because I'm so frustrated with Republicans right now. We have some courageous House members like Jim Jordan and Ron DeSantis coming out against this corruption in the Justice Department, FBI, and Mueller's team. But the silence is deafening over in the Senate. It seems that we still have Senators Graham and Burr and others defending the Mueller investigation. And I just don't understand why we don't have a chorus of Republicans now calling for this sham to be ended.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, it's really simple and it's really easy to get done. And that is just do your job. And the job is, okay, when there's conflicts of interest, when you have people that have such obvious political biases against the president, when you have people that only donate to Obama, Clinton's, the DNC, you can't have an honest investigation. And then when you have people like Andrew Weissman, who has a track record of using unsavory tactics, making up laws that don't exist, a failure in terms of his convictions being overturned, 9-0 Supreme Court, overturned Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, etc. You know, you need somebody who's going to give a fair, honest investigation. And if we're going to have equal justice under the law, well, that means we're going to investigate the real Russia collusion, Hillary paying for salacious lies in that dossier. And then we're going to investigate why James Comey, you know, why was he involved in exonerating Hillary Clinton before investigating with an anti-Trump, pro-Hillary surrogate in the FBI by the name of Peter Strzok. You know, we should want equal justice. We should want fair application. We don't need abusive prosecutors using their power, you know, to indict ham sandwiches because they've got an agenda and they don't like the president. And that's what we've been living through. And that's what's now being exposed, especially as the, quote, Trump-Russia collusion story appears to be debunked at this point. There's never been any evidence. That's the irony in all of this. And the media is, they don't care how corrupt the system is as long as they got their prize. Their prize was to take out this duly elected president. They didn't succeed. They're not going to succeed. We can't let them succeed, because if we do, we're going to lose the country in the meantime. All right, 800-941-SEAN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. Quick break, news roundup, information overload, and who should be worried about the legal jeopardy in 2018? It's not who you think. That's next.
Well, I think the uranium sale to Russia and the way it was done, so underhanded, with tremendous amounts of money being passed, I actually think that's Watergate modern age.
As you know, President Trump has tried to flip the script and now says the Justice Department should be investigating you. Mm-hmm. And this week we learned that Attorney General Sessions is considering a special counsel to probe the Uranium One deal and alleged conflicts with the Clinton mm-hmm. Foundation. What's your reaction to this?
You know, I regret deeply that this appears to be the politicization of the Justice Department and our justice system. This Uranium One story has been debunked countless times by members of the press, by independent experts. It is nothing but a false charge that the Trump administration is trying to drum up in order to avoid attention being directed at them. I mean, even Trey Gowdy, somebody who's hardly a fan of mine, said that there doesn't seem to be the basis for a special counsel. Of course, there isn't. But if I try to take myself out of it, which, is kind of hard because it's personally offensive that they would do this. But taking myself out of it, this is such an abuse of power, and it goes right at the rule of law.
As you know, Sean Hannity on his program has been very critical of the Uranium One deal, the president saying with regard to Russia, that's the real story in all of this. What would you say to those critics?
I would say it's the same baloney they've been peddling for years, and there's been no credible evidence by anyone. In fact, it's been debunked repeatedly and will continue to be debunked. But here's what they're doing, and really, I have to give them credit. Trump and his allies, including Fox News, are really experts at distraction and diversion.
A news roundup and information overload, 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. The big media story missed last year is now that the Russia collusion investigation is going away. Well, now we really have probably the biggest political boomerang that is now opening and evolving right before our very eyes, because there was Russia collusion in the 2016 presidential race, and now we know after a year's worth of denials, it was Hillary Clinton and the DNC controlled by Clinton money that paid for the phony Russian lies and dossier to propagandize, mislead, misinform you, the American people, before a presidential election. And then, of course, then we have all these other issues. I've watched over vacation very little TV in terms of news, but the narrative now has been set. They're not talking and reporting breathlessly and hysterically every day the latest on Trump-Russia collusion, because that is now pretty much ended up debunked at this point and will be debunked. There's no evidence after a year. So the only thing they can say is, as a result of the investigations, and this is typical Democratic overreach, well, then we've discovered a whole lot of real collusion, not just the dossier. Then you got James Comey putting the fix in with pro-Hillary, anti-Trump Peter Strzok and his FBI girlfriend Lisa Page. And we know what they are involved in. And we know that they were writing an exoneration before an investigation. And then it extends out even further when you got this guy Orr, four doors down from Rod Rosenstein, and his shenanigans and what he's involved in. And his wife is actually part of the Fusion GPS dossier building team. We got to get answers to that question and those questions. And, well, Hillary can say all she wants that Uranium One has been debunked. No, it's not. There never was a good explanation why we would ever, ever allow a foreign entity access to America's uranium when we don't have enough uranium. And that Robert Mueller and others knew in 2009 and before CFIUS signed off on that deal, including Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder. Well, we knew about bribery, extortion, and kickbacks and money laundering that was all taking place by Russian agents. In other words, Putin's pets that were here in America. That was all happening. And Mueller and company did nothing. And then we allowed a foreign entity to, in fact, take 20% control of our uranium. And then all the money with all the people associated with that deal kicking back as much as $145 million of the Clinton Foundation. All of this now is boomeranging back because the Russia-Trump collusion story is dying. It's dead on a vine. It's withering. So the media, in their desperation, has now decided that anyone that talks about, Robert Mueller and his corrupt band of merry lawyers that he put together and all the donations that they gave to the DNC and Obama and Hillary and Andrew Weissman, who had an overturn in the U.S. Supreme Court 9-0 in the Enron case or in the Anderson accounting case, Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and that the obstruction of justice case in one was thrown out. People spent a year in jail. That was thrown out and overturned. And then you have all these people that donate only to Democrats, not Republicans. And now all of this is ending up being investigated. And of course, we had broken the news It was interesting. CNN breaks the news while we're on vacation. Oh, Jeff Sessions hadn't recused himself from Uranium One. I'm like, okay, we did that on November 3rd, and we were reporting it even before that. Here to weigh in on the status of all of this, Peter Schweitzer. He got the ball rolling with Clinton Cash, the New York Times bestseller, The Untold Story of How and Why Foreign Governments and Businesses Help Make Bill and Hillary Rich. Also, Greg Jarrett is with us, Fox News legal analyst. Is there anything, Peter, that I'm missing here in terms of how this is all literally boomerang back? And is 2018 we could call the year of the boomerang?
Well, no, I think you're exactly right, Sean. Look, you and I talked in January of last year, January 2017, before Donald Trump was inaugurated, and the issue of alleged Russian collusion came up. And my view was investigate all of it, investigate the stuff on the Trump side of the roster, look at the Clinton stuff. And what we've done now, a year later, is there's been a thorough investigation of the Trump side. There's really nothing there, but there's been very little official investigation of the Clinton side of the ledger. We know that the FBI, 5 field offices have investigated. They tried in 2016 to get the Obama Department of Justice to give them subpoena power and the other tools to really give it a thorough vetting. They were turned down with that request. So as it stands right now, we've only looked at one side of this question of Russia ties, of the Trump side. No evidence has developed there that's compelling in any way, and yet the Clinton side has not been investigated. And I think from the beginning, what we wanted is consistency and looking at all the facts. Let's put all the facts on the table and see what they bear out.
And your take, Greg Jarrett. I mean, I've got to imagine people are going to go to jail, but it's not going to be the people that Americans for a year were lied to and told they're going to be going to jail.
That's right. And Peter has put his finger on it very nicely. There is no evidence of Trump-Russian collusion, but a plethora of evidence of Hillary Clinton and Democratic-Russian collusion. You know, it's a crime to pay money to a foreign national for a dossier in a political campaign. That's a crime. It's a violation of 2 federal statutes. And yet I'm seeing no movement by anyone in the Department of Justice or the FBI, and certainly not Mueller, to investigate and bring charges on that basis. And the second part is, you know, the Uranium One and Hillary Clinton, her usual vacuous excuse, oh, it's all been debunked. If it were debunked, then it would not now be the subject of a current criminal investigation by the Department of Justice and congressional committees. As I've long argued, I don't have a great deal of confidence in Jeff Sessions. I do think there ought to be a second special counsel to investigate Hillary, Democratic, Russian collusion with the dossier, and quid pro quo, maybe money laundering, mail fraud, wire fraud in Uranium One, because the Clinton...
What about the investigators, though? What about somebody like Comey,
sure,
and Peter Strzok that, you know, I've got to believe there's a possible obstruction charge there if you're writing an exoneration and you haven't done your work, your investigation.
Well, as to Comey, he violated 18 U.S.C. 641. He stole government documents. It's a crime. It's larceny. He took 7 presidential memos with him. I'm told some of it contains classified information. It's a clear violation of the law. And if he fixed it so Hillary would be exonerated, that's obstruction of justice if he did it for a political reason, together with Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe, and others.
What's your take, Peter, in terms of now, you know, where this all ends up in terms of the year and how this impacts the political process? Look, you know, I spent a lot of time today talking about Donald Trump's first year and Donald Trump's successes and Donald Trump's promises made and promises kept. The year ended well, especially with the economic package that the Republicans finally got done and passed. We already have seen a lot of regulations that have been taken away, but this bill in particular gets rid of the Obama mandate and also opens up Anwar to drilling. That to me has always been a potential source of millions of high-paying career jobs. Does it all come down to the economy? Does this now go off into the distance, or does this get finished?
Well, it's a good question, Sean. And look, I think the real question here, and I would defer to Greg on the legal side of this, but look, there's a very real possibility that the Mueller investigation is going to go well beyond what it was intended to. You know, the independent counsel laws are pretty vague in terms of what you can look into. You can look into anything. And, you know, what was supposed to be an investigation about the 2016 election and alleged collusion involving the campaign and Russian government entities, you now have, charges that have been brought in the cases, involving some people already that predate the 2016 campaign. And there are reports that, you know, financial records and business transactions involving Jared Kushner, possibly involving the Trumps earlier than that, 2013, 2014, are being asked for. If that is the case, it's hard to see how any of that has anything to do with 2016. So I think that, you know, anybody who hopes and thinks that Mueller is going to sort of close the book on this and say we didn't find anything related to 2016, I think he is going to feel the pressure to come up with something, and it's going to be something that's really not related to the initial purpose of the investigation to begin with. And I think that's a real cloud hanging over
Donald Trump.
But
that's what he's done so far, but he's got his own issues that he's going to have to deal with. And if there's going to be, again, equal justice under the law, it would seem that either other special counsels need to be appointed, or he needs to follow the rule of law, but that would first mean dismantling a team of Democratic donors that he has hired, and also people with questionable ethics and practices in past cases, and a pretty abysmal track record. And as we continue, the author of the best-selling book, Clinton Cash, The Untold Story of How and Why Foreign Governments and Businesses Helped to Make Bill and Hillary Rich, Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst. Let me go to the story about Uma Abedin, who is Crooked Hillary's top aide and now being accused of disregarding basic security protocols and putting classified passwords into the hands of foreign agents. And we remember Christian Saucier. He was the guy that took six pictures aboard a submarine. And he's spending a year in jail away from his daughter and his mother and his family. The president reminds us, and he said, you know, deep state Justice Department must finally act also on Comey and others. Is the president right to point out this lack of equal justice under the law? Greg Jarrett.
Oh, I think absolutely the president is correct about that. And your mentioning of Uma Abedin, I mean, this is the woman who told the FBI she knew nothing about Hillary Clinton's private email server during the entire course of 4 years as Secretary of State. And yet, documents demonstrate she well knew it. And indeed, she kept her own email account on the same private email server in the basement of Hillary Clinton's home. So I think it's fair to say that Uma Abedin has little credibility. How she has managed to escape criminal prosecution.
Who are the people that should be afraid that they're in legal jeopardy as we kick off this year?
Oh, I would say certainly Hillary Clinton is at the top of the list for the things we've talked about. But I think all of her top aides who appear to have in some form or fashion deceived the FBI and members of Congress, they're all in legal jeopardy for that. And I think some people at the FBI who may have for
specifically
political purposes, pardon me?
Specifically, Comey, McCabe.
Comey, Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe, James Baker. Three of those people I've mentioned have been, you know, either removed from the Mueller case or demoted or shifted over at the FBI. They're cleaning house over there. They're cleaning their swamp. But more needs to be done, including criminal prosecutions, if appropriate.
And now that we know, Peter, that, in fact, you were right on Uranium One and way ahead of the curve, I guess we've got to ask you, now that we know the Attorney General has not recused himself, I've got to believe that case is wide open.
Yes, I think it is. I think the key question is, are you going to have the Department of Justice give the FBI the tools they need to subpoena Clinton personal financial records and Clinton Foundation records, emails or correspondence related to the Clinton Foundation, whether they're going to get access to those materials. And really, you know, right now, the Department of Justice, when it comes to the Clinton issues, is essentially a ghost ship. You don't really have a senior senior crew, a captain of the ship that has a steady hand that says, we're going to go and look into this. And that's a problem, because when it comes to other matters, they have been proactive and they have been aggressive. Some would say overly aggressive as it relates to Trump and other issues. But for some reason, there's this lack of consistency with the Clintons. Clearly now there are ties and relationships involving some people at the senior DOJ that explain that. But this is not going to go anywhere with Hillary Clinton if you don't get leadership of the Department of Justice. I'm not saying tip the scales against her or for her. I'm saying just let the investigation proceed.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Thank you all for being with us. Happy New Year. Greg Jarrett, Peter Schweitzer. When we come back, wide open telephones on this Tuesday, our first edition, 2018. Happy New Year, and we'll continue.
Get that contact high. But look at what's on the other end of the gas mask. Yes, a bong. And, of course, they couldn't stand to see a bong that didn't have any cannabis in it. So you actually put it in the bong. You filled it up.
Yeah.
And you packed it. Okay, so you're going to, now what? Now you're going to celebrate a little New Year's early, or what?
I'm honest with you, I've never hit my...
Oh, right. Okay. I don't think this is really what a gas mask is used for, but, wow. Okay. This is New Year's Eve, Denver style.
This is legal,
everybody.
In Colorado. I know.
Okay. Oh, my.
I'm moving to Colorado.
It is very legal. Wow. But so, we are making our way,
Randy,
to a puff pass and pay party.
Yeah. Riding around on a pot bus in Colorado where marijuana is legal. Randy Hart, oh goodness, you're
That's
just
right.
giggling now, Randy.
Oh my God, Randy's dust is kicking
this
in.
This is for Andy. Andy, this is for you.
Oh.
No, this is
oh
a puff pass
God.
And pay party.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't. This is the best. Thank you, Randy. That is a gorgeous joint.
Someone just passes it to me because that's what you do here at the Puff Pass and Paint Party. You just pass it on to somebody. It's so funny. But here, everybody just puffs, passes, and paint. And I got to show you something else. They have a thing here called the Incredible. I got to show you how this works. We have a willing participant right here. If you thought this was nice, wait till you see this. Okay, let's see how it works here. This is all part of the puff, pass, and paint. This is where they get their creativity. They just get it right
oh my
in there,
God,
and then they
that.
Paint.
This doesn't seem like
Isn't
a good
that
idea.
Amazing? It's
this
called guy. The Incredible. And so the guy who
wow,
teaches one of these puff, pass, and paint classes.
Forty.
Oh.
This is CNN.
24 till the top of the hour. How did I miss this great coverage on CNN? Oh, that's right. I was asleep. No, I was actually tending bar at midnight on New Year's Eve, believe it or not. It's a tradition. I won't go into a long explanation of it. But that was what they were doing there in Colorado. Let's see. The reporter was putting on these gas mask bongs and lighting bongs for revelers out in Colorado and holding up joints. And that was their party at CNN. Andy Cohn and Anderson Cooper presiding over that fiasco. I never thought I'd say bring back Kathy Griffin.
You mean you didn't do that on New Year's Eve, Sean?
No, I did not.
You didn't put a big vape mask on and get busy?
You know, I know everybody's like, you know, all young people seem to be really ecstatic about the legalization of pot. It's like the worst drug there is. There's no worse drug that's out there.
Not everybody is excited about it.
Okay, man. This is the average person I know that smokes pot. They're just total losers. They literally don't function.
They're not all total losers. I mean, there are some people who get recreationally
I understand that people use it for recreational reasons, and they would argue it's the equivalent of having a glass of wine, a beer, or a cocktail of some kind. I get it. But it's just, but the average person that smokes doesn't just smoke once a week on a Friday night.
There's a difference. There's a difference between people who are recreational users
and potheads.
Exactly. And
I mean, they're stoned all day.
Right. That's completely
and
different.
And the people that I know that do it all day are just like, they're just out of
Somehow I don't think you know that many people that do that. I mean, I'm just taking a wild guess.
I've known a lot of people over the years that have done that.
As a person who
Cheech and Chong, by the way, I know
I
them.
Know you're a former bartender, so maybe you know a couple, but I'm just saying, you know.
But most people think this is the, first of all, It's like, what, 1,000 times stronger than it was 25 years ago.
Forget about it. You can get contact high walking down a New York City
street.
You
really can. I smell it in the streets of New York all the time. But I'm just, if you're spending a lot of time in your life using that drug, I'm not going to sit here like Reefer Madness and say you're going to die. I am saying that it's going to take away your motivation.
But it will puncture your lungs. I mean, it's just like cigarette smoke.
I don't know what the additives are to it. I don't know if it's as bad as, you know, the tobacco companies ran into the most problem as they tried to get the perfect burn of a cigarette. And that's when they started adding all those chemicals to the tobacco. The tobacco wasn't as bad itself alone. But then I don't want to get into all of it. If this is CNN, if this is what they want to report on, you know, if their reporters want to light bongs, hold up joints and gas masks, and that's their way to bring in the new year, who am I to criticize that?
Well, you usually have to get high to watch CNN, so maybe that's what they were trying to say.
I've got to imagine if you're on a bus with stoners.
Or if you're working at CNN, you need to be high, clearly.
But if you're on a bus with stoners and they're smoking in the bus, I got to imagine a couple of hours of that reporting is not going to be...
Talk about a bad situation, a driver that's smoking weed.
Yeah, well, or if the driver's not smoking, the contact high could be enormous.
Most likely he was probably
I remember
not
when I would spray paint, there's a stuff called Kills. It used to be oil-based. They don't make oil-based paints anymore. I remember spraying rooms with it because I just wanted to get it done and out of the way. You'd walk out of that room high as a kite, and
that
it wasn't a good feeling.
Was that aerosol?
Well, I'd spray. I mean, I'd use a sprayer, a paint sprayer, when I was a contractor. You walk out like, it would take me days to get sober. It was ridiculous. Just telling the truth.
How did those rooms come out? They look real nice and neat, right?
Yeah, they came out
real
really
sharp
good.
Edges in those rooms.
Although my usual quickness in painting slowed
that
down.
That blue tape was just in all sorts of diagonals.
But the funny thing is I worked a lot faster if I would just roll it on. But if you rolled it on, you still got that.
And people laugh, boy, that Hannity's creative.
No, the problem is if you have a bad water stain on your walls and you want to get rid of it and not have the paint bleed through, which happens all the time, you got to use that paint. And it was all oil-based.
That was a good excuse, Sean. Very believable.
All right, are you done?
I'm never done.
And there was another paint that I used to love from Benjamin Moore called Satin Impervo. That oil-based paint, it used to look like make woodwork look like glass. It would be so smooth. A really cool finish. If you know how to use it right. You had to cut it a little bit.
You know, I was painting just last night.
Yeah, thinking about me?
I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this like Sean Hannity. But in all seriousness, the paint smelled like eggnog. I am not making that up.
Well, now everything's water-based. It's
but
not
it
nearly
smelled
as
like
good
eggnog.
Quality. Do you like eggnog?
I love eggnog.
Oh, that thing is so disgusting.
Delicious.
There's nothing more. My father used to drink eggnog around the holidays.
Your father was a good man.
Oh, now, do you spike your eggnog or no?
No, not last night, because I wanted my lines to be straight, unlike your Kilns moment.
Great. All right. Oh, Velma's there. Happy New Year, Velma. Did the boys get my present this year?
Oh, yeah, they did. They love it. How you doing, honey?
How are you, honey? If I say honey to you, I'm going to get in trouble. You can say honey to me all you want.
You can say honey to me, too. My husband's here. You still can say honey to me.
Yeah. Oh, great. The guy that will never talk to me. Ask your husband why he never talks to me. Put him on the phone. I want to talk to him.
I can't put him on the phone. He's outside.
Well, no, he's not outside. He's right there next to you. Put him on the phone.
No,
tell him
not.
Sean wants to talk to you. Call outside. Say, honey.
Sean.
Sweetie Pie. Honey Bunch. Say, Hannity wants to talk to you.
They loved your gift.
What did I get this year? I don't even remember anymore. It all sort of runs together.
You got Anthony, Xbox One.
Oh, and then I got the Apple Watch, right, for Marcel.
I told you not to get that baby, that expensive watch. You did it anyway.
Yeah. Does he like it?
He like it. He love it, but I can't let him wear it in a way I'm scared somebody of stealing.
Oh, my. Velma, the point of the gift is to use it. What are you going to do? Give it to him when he's 50? I mean, they'll have a new watch by then.
He wore it to church Sunday.
No. Velma, the whole point is if you give someone a gift is use the gift. What's the point?
I believe in that. I believe that, too. But I'm not going to let him just wear it anyway. But most of the time, he's with us anyway, so he wears it. He loves it.
Well, then let him wear it. If he loses it, I'm not going to be mad. It will be an accident.
No, he's not going to lose it.
Okay, so let him wear the watch. And if God forbid, one day he lost it, it'll be fine. We'll get him another one.
He ain't not going to lose it, and
he's not going to lose it if you lock it up in a closet in a safe room and not let the kid have his Christmas present because you're afraid he's going to lose it.
Sean, he does. He does wear it.
Well, let him wear it every day. It's okay. He can wear it every day. It's his watch.
Let him wear it to school?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Velma, why are you going to make a safe room for a watch? Who cares? It's only a watch. You know, I don't wear jewelry, Velma. I don't like to wear watches.
Yeah, well, he loves his watch, and he uses it.
Well, he loves it because you never give it to him. You got to let the kid wear the watch. Why are you being so stubborn again? You're always being stubborn.
You're being mean to me.
I am not being mean to you.
You're yelling at me.
All right, I'll stop. How was your present? I got you a spa day.
Oh, my day is January 15th.
Oh, that's your spa day.
That's my spa day. I'm looking for.
I think you get the whole works. I think you get a massage, a mani-pedi. I think you get a facial. I think you get your hair done. Whatever you want, get it done.
I get my hair done, too?
Sure, why not?
Oh, sure. Okay, we'll see.
I don't like massages. I'm kind of weird that way.
I love massages.
I don't like strangers touching me. I don't know why.
That's what you told me.
I don't.
These people are paid well to do their job.
I'm not doubting that, but I don't know you, and you can't touch me. I don't know who you are.
Really?
Yeah, really. What do you think? I don't go to spa days.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Doing my feet.
What do you mean?
That.
Well, that's true.
I love them rubbing on my back. I love that.
You love your feet being rubbed?
Ooh, yes, my leg, yes.
Your legs and your feet and your back.
And my hands and my arms, anywhere they want to rub.
I'm not even going there. I'm not going there.
I'm saying, you're right. I sometimes talk out of turn. You know what I mean, though.
I think I knew what you mean. By the way, if my job is I've got to touch other people's feet, I need a new job. I don't want to touch most people's feet. They're disgusting.
John, that is so relaxing, though.
I know, but you're not the one that's touching someone else's feet.
We're not going to go there with our feet dirty. They're going to be clean.
Oh, you're going to clean your feet before you go?
Oh, Lord, yes. You scrub yourself. You smell good and everything.
You smell good before you go to the spa to get cleaned up.
Because you don't, the people, and I'm old, too. I really have to smell good.
Oh, so what do you do to smell good? That's a great question. How do you smell good?
Oh, when you shower and lotion yourself down and put on cologne, you know how to do it.
I don't do any of that. I shower and I get out and I comb my hair and I get dressed and I wear the same clothes every day and go to work.
Sean.
Velma.
Well, I never.
I put on deodorant. Do you like deodorant?
I don't
wear cologne.
You know what? As a matter of fact, I was going to call Linda and ask Linda, what kind of cologne does Sean wear?
I don't wear cologne and I don't wear watches and I don't wear jewelry and I don't want to get.
He stinks, Velma. He just stinks.
Women like good smelling men.
Well, I put good deodorant on. I mean, it changes every day. I just pick whatever's at the store. I mean, I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about it.
You never wear lotion or nothing with any scent in it.
Oh, no, only during the dry months of winter I get dried up with my old Irish skin. But short of that, I hate lotion. I hate the way that feels.
Oh, my Lord. Who hates lotion?
I do.
But
it's too time consuming to put it on.
You know what? That'll dry your skin out. You'll look older for your time.
I already am older. My birthday just passed.
I know it. What did you do for your birthday?
Played golf. And then after golf, we had like a barbecue and that was it. And my family bought me shirts that weren't black because they don't like that I wear black shirts all the time.
And you better wear them, too.
Oh, I can't wait to wear them. I'm going to, brand new me, Velma, I'm going to wear a blue shirt this year.
The wife and kids, how are they? They good?
Everyone's good, thank God. Now, did you have a good New Year? All right, tell.
You know what? Look, we toasted and we used.
Well, I want you to call back after the 15th, and I want to get a full report on your feet, your legs, your back, and your big massage.
I'm going to probably send some pictures out. Depends on how they look.
Pictures of what?
You know, of my spa day.
Oh, we're going to get pictures of you, like, getting your feet rubbed and everything?
I was telling my granddaughter was here for Christmas, and I took her over there to show her where I'm going to be at. I said, this is where I'm going to be, honey.
And you're going to spend the whole day at the spa?
That's as long as till they put me out.
Well, that's why I got you the present you wanted, so you're happy, right?
Yeah, I'm very happy, Sean. I'm looking forward to it. You're so nice.
Does your husband go and get his feet rubbed and everything too, or no?
You know what? He's like you. Now, he like cologne and stuff, because, see, I like cologne. I like a man to smell a certain way.
And I got to run, but I wish you all God's blessings in 2018, okay?
So glad we're here together.
Yeah.
You know, that's something.
By the way, one day this year I want to talk to your husband. Will you make that happen?
I'll try.
I don't know why. I think he's jealous of me or something.
You think?
I think he's jealous of our relationship.
No, he's not.
I don't know. All right, I got to roll. See you, Velma. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel. What the media won't tell you about the investigation boomerang and how this is going to be the year Democrats, well, you got to basically figure out who might be indicted. Newt Gingrich will talk about every one of the president's accomplishments in 2017 he never got credit for. Newt Gingrich, John Solomon, also Sarah Carter, Peter Schweitzer tonight. We'll check in with Pam Bondi, and Tom Fenton will join us, and Michelle Malkin tonight. That's all coming up. Set your DVR. A new hand. Oh, and we bring back the Hate Hannity hotline. See you back here tomorrow.